Examine these facts tonight, and the title of the message tonight is Baby Killings. Can't you soft shoe a little bit? God deals with it, and let's see what God says about it. Three things I want to look at tonight as hurriedly as we can. First of all, let's look at the realm. It's God's realm, it's God's creation. From every soul that's ever born until the last soul, God is the creator of life. So we want to look at the realm, because all souls belong to the Lord. And then they have a decision to make when they reach an age of accountability. Will I accept what God has offered me? If not, they will end up in the lake of fire. But then I want to look at the reasons a lot of these things are happening in this realm that God has created. We go back and we're going to look at a lot of the reasons that's happening. The Bible's very clear on it. It won't be my opinion. And yours wouldn't be any better than mine. So let's just see what God says about the reasons all these things have happened, are happening. Then lastly, we'll deal with the results. God has the final say, and the results belong to Him. In the book of Exodus, the first realm we're going to look at will be the children of Israel. They are God's people. Jacob now has those 12 boys and some daughters. And God is teaching them a lesson that they haven't. If you could read about the life of those 12 boys, Joseph was type of Christ, of course. But the rest of them, you wouldn't necessarily say they were everyday, wonderful, upstanding citizens. I mean, they did a lot of wrong. But God's going to teach them a lesson, as He will you, as He will me. So He sends them down into Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And there they are in bondage. God's going to deliver them all right, but while they're there, God starts increasing them. And the Pharaoh, the king, goes and he tells the midwives, when these babies are born, if they're boy babies, kill them. Baby killers. Let's read that account. What he says in Exodus chapter 1. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, verse 15. Of which the name of the one was Shiharah, and the name of the other Purah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, well, have you done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. If you ever have a question about what God thinks about life and about the babies and keeping the babies alive, you see it right here. See, God stepped in and the midwives were afraid to do what the king said, no matter what the law said, no matter what the king, he was the law. They said, no, we fear God. What did God do? Let's keep reading about it. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed mighty. But that's not all God did for them. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. Well, when you honor God and look at the realm of His creation and know that God is a creator of life and we preserve that life, then God will bless us as He did the midwives. But the king's still the king. And the next verse says, then Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So for periods of time now, the Pharaoh has got his people in charge. Little boy babies, they're cast into the river. And that river, of course, would be the Nile River, no doubt. Large crocodiles, 15, 18 foot long in that river. And no doubt they would devour those children. So we see the first phase of the realm of God's creation here. And we're told about a period of time when the boy babies were put to death. Now let's jump over a little bit to the New Testament and look at the next phase or the next period in this realm that the Bible talks about. Of course, a lot of times in between, history tells us, been a lot of baby killing through the years. But we're just dealing with the one the Bible speaks about. In the book of Matthew, chapter 2, we're talking about the period or the realm of God's creation. And we see that Jesus Christ was going to be born, and the star came out, and God's time was, and the wise men were headed toward Bethlehem. And the scripture had already proclaimed, isn't it good that the scripture is given to us to know what God is going to do so many times? And so the king was going to not like it, but it doesn't matter what the king likes. Let's see what God likes. In verse 13, chapter 2, book of Matthew. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according of the time to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise man. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. The second period that we spoke about, recording God's word, when a great slaughter of the children by the king. And we're going to see the reason they did that after a while, but I want to talk about the third period that is much discussed. And the Bible says, in the latter days, perilous times shall come. Evil like we've never seen, never have been. And today, look around. You and I are living in that time period. We see it on the news, we hear it, and we watch it on TV. And now we see that there has been, you know, not only Roe versus Wade, which the Supreme Court said is lawful to kill babies in the womb. They call it abortion, but God calls it murder. So I think we'll go with God's word. And this period of time or this realm, it's increasing. You heard recently that the governor Northam of Virginia, and I heard his speech, and trying to pass laws in Virginia that says you can abort a baby, kill a baby until it's right, ready to be born. And if it's born anyway, then you lay it there, and mommy and the doctor and daddy, if he's around, can decide if the child lives or dies. And killing babies. And then even worse, Governor Cuomo of New York, if you read about that, has already decreed and signed. And they had a great celebration that you can kill babies until they're born the last time right before they're born. And then if they survive that, then you can still kill them. And they say that is a mother's right. If the baby's laying there alive, the mother's got nothing else to do with life, and God has everything to do with life. But have you noticed? Have you noticed that the same crowd that believes in killing babies are the same crowd that believes in homosexuality? And that's the same crowd that is for the criminal and would protect the criminal over the innocent. Doesn't this seem skewed? Well, God has some answers for us. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. The reasons why in the world could Pharaoh sleep at night having babies thrown in the river and no doubt watching crocodiles devour them? How could the rest of the people? Romans gives us some answers to our questions, the reason. First of all, we know that heathen nations don't generally regard human life as sacred. Wait a minute, we're in America. Oh, but God would look at this and say, heathen nation. But we believe in God, and God we trust. Mottos don't mean anything. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God looks at the heart. The sacredness of human life was not a principle to these people. Life is sacred. It's in the realm of God's creation. Obviously, it's not sacred to those that have decreed all these decrees. Why would that be? Romans has all the answers we need in Romans chapter 1. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, taking the truth of God's word, that God is a giver of life, a sacred life, and saying that's not right, hold it in unrighteousness. Where's God at? Oh, he'll make some adjustments along the way. Let's just read farther. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. How come their heart was darkened? Foolishness. Wouldn't heed truth. Call it unrighteousness. So God is having his intervention in the matter. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and serve the creatures more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Do you like that so much? He put, amen. Clear? You couldn't miss that unless you were one of those foolish people. For this cause, God gave him up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burning their own lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. That means a lot of that ill will, evil, troublemakers. Just God's for it, they're against it. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, despitefully proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Listen to this verse, sums it all up. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, well, a lot of these people, like, we can't prove, and we don't know that the Pharaoh was homosexual, and we don't know that Herod was. It doesn't matter. The fact that they did all these other things, and they supported that thing, and they support all these other things. The last verse says, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So they support those other things. Well, they were having big parties and celebrations when the governor of New York made that decree. And even though all those people may not have been doing the abortions, and all those people, they were in favor of it, so God holds them accountable also. So we have seen very clearly the reasons. So we've looked at the realm. We looked at three different aspects. We've looked at the reasons God said that these things were happening. But let's go farther and look at the results. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. God has already intervened and give the wives, the women, the people that would not kill the babies, houses and his favor toward them. Now let's keep reading in the book of Exodus, in verse 1 of chapter 2. And there was a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months, and when she could not longer hide him, and took him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And her sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and the maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it, to draw it out of the water. So the first thing we see that God intervened, and the deliverer was sent, and Moses was going to be delivered. He was sent by God, and the devil wanted to destroy him. But see, God saw fit to have the deliverer, the one that would be the one to deliver them, drawn from the water. Aren't you thankful God intervenes in these matters? And as such, Moses grew to be 40 years old, and he realized what was going on. He tried to help in his own way, and they'll get you in big trouble. You wait for God. So he killed one of the Egyptian soldiers, had to flee. But then when he was 80 years old, on the backside of the desert, God met him and sent him back to Egypt. And by the hand of Moses, the deliverer that was once drawn from the water, God set the children of Israel free and took him into the promised land. What happens at the next phase of the realm that we saw about King Herod? Well, let's look at that aspect. We already read part of it. And in this aspect, the Savior, Christ Jesus, was spared. See, the Savior of the world was sent by God, and men tried to kill him. Why? Because they were foolish. Romans already told us why. They knew God. They didn't want to honor God. And so God turned them over to foolishness and all these other things. So they tried to kill. But because of the love of God that was looking ahead to you and I, the Savior was spared because the angel visited Joseph and said, take him down to Egypt's land. And thank God that you and I have been spared from the wrath to come because Christ Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Well, what about the results of these things that's happening now? Well, it doesn't justify it, but you see, every baby that is taken from a mother's womb goes straight to heaven. It's life. It's in the realm of God's sacred life, And even though Satan has used his people, foolish people, to destroy the body, they cannot destroy the soul. That's the only good thing I can see out of that. But there's something else that's going to happen in one of these golden daybreaks when Jesus Christ, see, the Redeemer will return. And we're living in that day. See, every time I've looked at three different aspects of the realm of God's creation and the great things that happened, short of Israel in bondage all those years, it was a great thing, but God delivered them with the Redeemer that was drawn from the water. And then Christ's Savior, the Savior that was spared and was not killed by Herod and all his henchmen. And now that Redeemer is coming back. The Redeemer is coming, and you and I are living in that day. So every period we looked at, some great thing happened. And although we're living the world, and you can't change it, and I can't change it, it's moving fast. Just a few years ago, abortion, murder was made illegal. Didn't mean it was illegal, but the laws of land said it was. But even so, they said certain amounts of time. And now they're saying right up until the baby is born and even after it's born. You see, we're moving fast in this realm of time. Could it be that the Redeemer, Christ, our Redeemer, is ready to return? We pray for our nation. You can't expect those people to change because God's already said what he'd do with them. I mean, if he said he'd do it, do you believe the word of God? You believe he said, when I'm going to return, I'll return to my own. As many as look for him, shall I return? I'm looking for him now because I'm redeemed. Well, God put Romans chapter 1 in his word too. And if God said he would do all these things, the people that act such a way, you can believe it. God not only will, he does. And every time, in the book we saw that, and the Pharaoh died. The same Pharaoh that was killing babies was not the same Pharaoh that was still alive, of course, when the children of Israel were led out of captivity. And then we see Herod died. It wasn't the same Herod that tried Jesus Christ the Lord. And what's going to happen to these other people in our day and time? Oh, thank God, that's not my worry. It's not your worry. God's on the throne. And the Redeemer is soon returning in glory for all those. Just kind of a message to understand why baby killers were baby killers. It is like it is. We pray for them, and we know those little ones that's aborted, that's killed, that's murdered, are home in heaven. You see, then what happens to them? Well, if I wasn't a pulpit preacher, I'd tell you my opinion, but I don't give opinions in the pulpit. One day I'll talk to you and think what I think's going to happen. Bible don't say, but I think I got it all right. I wouldn't dare say anything in the pulpit that I can't back up with the word of God. But one of these days we might have a discussion and I'll tell you what I think about it. But God's kind of silent on the subject. But they do know that the soul that is in the womb is gone to be with the Lord. Just the same as when you and I die, we're breathing, we're a body that has a soul in us. We're really a soul inhabited with a body that has a spirit that longs for God. And when we die, that soul and that spirit goes to be with him. Well, that baby's just as much alive as I am and you are. Why don't those foolish people understand that? Yeah, I already read the word of God. Why they don't, why they can't. But you say, you and I know that. So rest assured, the result is when the baby is aborted, it doesn't just go back and nothing happen. It's alive. It's alive. It's in heaven with God. He'll take care of it. It's not been an easy message to preach. But I'd preach if God said preach it no matter when, no matter what, no matter where. See, I've learned a long time ago that I'm going to obey God when he says, what he says, as he says, and leave all the results up to him. So there'll be plenty of results. Maybe. But that's up to God. I belong to him. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. We understood a little bit more about killing babies and baby killers. Awful thing, isn't it? I'd hate to be labeled that. Let's pray, then we'll go in our business meeting. Lord Jesus, you see us, we are. Yeah, we live in a weak and troubled world. We know that. Neither one of us can change a thing. But we can pray to you and ask you to help us. You're going to send judgment to America because of these deeds. I already said you would. Father, I'm just praying that you will prolong it and give us another space that we may glorify that name and preach that word and reach lost people before they go through the awful state of what Romans chapter 1 told us. Oh God, help us in these days to be more alert than we've ever been. Satan is a devourer. He uses people. Tries to devour people, but he cannot devour the soul unless they yield it to him when they reach the age of accountability. We love you. We bless you. We praise your high and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Open up the business meeting. You can be seated. You may not be a member here, but please stay.